Good morning.
Good morning.
Oh, that was pretty good. One of my favorite movies, Rocky, the great theologian, Rocky Balboa. And it's not how many times you get knocked down, it's how many times you get up. And that is the way life is. And maybe this is the first time you're meeting me, so hi, nice to meet you. And growing up, when I was 14, I got the gift that keeps on giving, type 1 diabetes. It is a lovely, lovely disease. It is so much fun. I'm being sarcastic right now. And that has led to a lot of medical problems. A lot of medical problems. Being in the hospital, having feeding tubes, having doctors tell my family that he's not going to make it out of the hospital. And my nickname in Bible college was Lazarus because I always resurrected from the dead every time I came through. And that's what God does, is he brings us through things. If you've never gone through a trial in your life, you're lying. All of us have gone through trials, and we've been tempted. All of us have gone through struggles in our lives. All of us have failed in our lives. I have a saying that I tell my mom all the time. You don't know unless you try. Should I do this? Should I do that? You don't know unless you try. Now, I won't be running a marathon because I know that I will die, okay? But I don't know if God is opening the door unless I try. We are so afraid of failure that we don't get out. We don't allow ourselves to try different things in life. Maybe God's calling us to whatever. Rocky Balboa, a lot of us know this movie, great movie. It's amazing to me these movies are still going on and they're still okay. And he has grit or pluck. He has pluck and he keeps going and going and going. And that's what we need to do in our lives. This morning, our main text is going to be James chapter 1, verses 2 through 18. You should have gotten one of these handy handouts, these lovely handouts. How you doing? Okay. Hey, isn't this great? We got a front row of teenagers. Isn't that great? They might have not experienced these trials yet, but they will. First part of James tells us when trials come. It doesn't say if, maybe, you might. No. Where James says when trials come. When trials come. They're going to come. And we need to be prepared. Like Will said, I'm from the great state of Iowa, the home of the Iowa State Cyclones. Thank you very much. And we have tornadoes. Lots of tornadoes. The sirens go off, and this is true, the sirens go off and Iowans go outside. True story. The reason why we go outside is not because we're crazy. We're a little bit crazy, but it's not really because we're crazy. We go outside so we can see where the storm is. Because in Iowa, if it's in your county, the sirens are going to go off. So you need to go outside, see where it's going. Now, if it's right outside your window, you really don't need to go out. There was a farmer that was on the news. He said, I went outside. It was right in my backyard. I'm like, wow, an idiot. But we go and we look at the storm. We see what's happening. And a lot of us, we're surprised. We hear the warnings in our lives. We hear the sirens, the tornado warnings. And we're surprised that a storm is about to hit. I'm always amazed when there's a fire or a hurricane. And we lived up in Northern California for a while. And there's a fire all around, and people are just like, I'm not going. I'm not going. They're going to have to drag me out of here. I'm not going. They refuse to go. Or a hurricane. There's people down when those hurricanes hit. They refuse to go. I'd be the first one gone. But I'm the guy that's watching the tornadoes. So I don't know. I've never experienced a hurricane. But we need to allow the Lord to work in our lives in storms. Storms are going to happen, trials, difficulties, whatever you call. So consider pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. If any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and will be given to him. But when he asks, he must believe and not doubt, because he who doubts is like a wave of the sea blown and tossed by the wind. That man should not think he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all he does. The brother in humble circumstances ought to take pride in his high position, but the one who is rich should take pride in his low position, because he will pass away like a wildflower. For the sun rises with the scorching heat and withers the plant. Its blossom falls and its beauty is destroyed. In the same way, the rich man will fade away even while he goes about his business. Blessed is the man who perseveres under trial, because when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him. When tempted, no one should say, God is tempting me, for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when, by his own evil desire, he is dragged away and enticed. Then, after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to death. Do not be deceived, my dear brothers. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. He chose to give us birth through the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of all he created. Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for your word. Lord, I pray this morning that it's your words that are coming out of my mouth. I pray that you would penetrate our hearts. I pray that you would change us. Lord, speak to us this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. So your outline follows the sermon, and the first one is surprised. Storms will happen. Don't be surprised when they strike. A lot of us get surprised. Oh boy, here someone died, or I got sick, or I'm in the hospital, or I lost my job, or something happened. We get surprised by our storms. Now, a lot of people ask questions like, if God is so good, why do bad things happen to good people? Well, first of all, that question is just stupid. Because none are good, not even one, the Bible says. None of us are good. All have sinned and fallen away. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. None of us are good. So the question would be, why does God let bad things happen to horrible, dirty, rotten sinners? Well, dirty, rotten sinners, we deserve death, but Jesus came. So the question actually should be, why does God let good things happen to dirty, rotten sinners? That's what we should be asking ourselves. Instead of when something bad happens, be like, oh, God hates me. Oh, I'm going to eat worms and die. Oh, I feel so sorry for myself. Kind of like Jonah did when God told Jonah to go and preach to Nineveh, and Jonah finally did after being swallowed by a whale and spit out on the sand and finally went to Nineveh, and he didn't think they deserved to be saved. How many of us know people we don't think deserve to be saved? Not judging, just saying. So Nineveh turns and repents, and Jonah is up there and he's like, oh God, oh why? This bush just died. This branch, this tree just died. Selfish, selfish, selfish. And that's what we are like that. You know, we get all upset. We start running and say, why is this happening to me? Well, why not you? Why not you? If you listen to people who have gone through horrific trials and they've come out on the other end, and they'll say stuff like, I asked my mom or dad, why do bad things always happen to me? And my mom or dad said, why not you? Why not you? And after they're out of the trial, they realize that, whoa, this is why I had to go through it. This is why I had to go through it. So don't be surprised by the storm. Things are going to happen because we live in a fallen, evil world. That's why bad things happen. Then let's not get confused. If you sin, okay, I'm going to be honest this morning with you. I'm a big rotten sinner. I've done all my sinning as a Christian because I got saved. Well, before I got saved, I didn't sin as a Christian, but I was 6 years old. And I have fallen into deep sin in my life. And I'm facing the consequences for that sin. So many times we confuse consequences of sin with trials. I got fired from my job because I was a drunk. Oh, Lord, why are you letting bad things happen to me? Gary, don't be a drunk, you idiot. Stop drinking. Then you won't lose your job. So we got to be careful. And this is important for us to understand that we have consequences of sin. Are we forgiven? Yes, certainly forgiven. But sometimes we will live out those consequences of our sin for the rest of our life. So as we talk about trials, let's not get them confused with consequences of our sin. And let's understand that God is still in full control. God allows things in our lives to make us more like Him. So Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7 through 10, which is one of my favorite verses of all time. It says, therefore, in order to keep me from becoming conceited, I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. Three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me, but he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weakness, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weakness, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, and difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong. So Paul flips the tables and he says, when I'm weak, he is strong. I rejoice. Paul had a thorn in his flesh. We think it might have been his eyesight, and he struggled. And he didn't have a pity party. He said, when I am weak, God is strong. See, don't be surprised by the storm. Realize that Paul struggled with trials. Job, anybody know about the book of Job? It's not the book of Job, it's the book of Job. I had a student years ago that said, the book of Job, and I'm like, yeah, that's funny, but it's the book of Job. So Job was a righteous man, and all these things happened to him. He lost his family. He got all these boils. Life was just miserable. And one of my favorite verses, guys, I would caution you not to use this later today, but it says in chapter 2, verse 9, it says, his wife said to him, are you still maintaining your integrity? Curse God and die. And Job says, he replied, you are talking like a foolish woman. Shall we accept good from God and not trouble? So I understand Job's wife just lost all of her kids and life just was horrible. And that's what sometimes we respond, like Job's wife, we're like, I'm going to curse God. God, you don't know what you're doing. And Job says something that's very important to us. Shall we accept good from God and not trouble? Should we accept good and not trouble? A lot of us think that when God is blessing us, we're going to have a big house and a fancy car, and tons of money. If that has happened to you, tell me how that has happened so I can do the same thing to get that. But that's not what we're told in the Gospels. We're told that life is going to be hard. We're told that we are going to have troubles. We're told that we are going to be persecuted. So Job had troubles. Paul had troubles. Peter, 1 Peter 4:12 says, dear friends, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal that has come to you to test you. As shifting shadows, he chose to give us birth through the word of truth that we might be a kind of first fruits of all he created. So Peter in his book, hey, you're being persecuted, you're being given a hard time, you're going through a hard time. That's life. A lot of us have bought into this false gospel that if we get saved, then life is going to be hunky-dory, it's going to be great, it's going to be wonderful. Not always the case, but through the storm, we can sing through the storm. We can have joy through the storm. 1 Peter 6 and 7. In all this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief and all kinds of trials. These have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greatness, greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. And again, Peter says there's a reason for these, and we're going to get to that in James. There's a reason. So don't be surprised by the storms. Don't be surprised. It's not a new thing. The Old Testament, the New Testament, the Gospels. Then here Jesus says in John 16:33, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you'll have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world. I have overcome the world. So we're going to have hard times. We see that. So we get to James. And James starts here. It says, consider it pure joy. Consider it pure joy. How many of you, I'm going to ask for a show of hands. This is an answer that requires, this is a question that requires an answer. Can I say that correctly? Okay, an answer, question that requires an answer. I say that like 100 times and I can't even get it right. Okay, so how many of you, when you first read in the book of James, it says, consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of any kind, wanted to like ignore that? Thank you for your honesty. When I've been in the hospital a few times, people, that's their favorite verse to quote to me. People walk in and say, consider it pure joy, my brother. Whenever you face trials of any kind, I'm like, okay, whatever, leave. Because, you know, we got to be careful. We have all these, like, Christianese stuff. It's like, oh, it's God's will. It's God's purpose that, you know, you got feeding tubes coming out of your stomach and you can't walk. And it's just, you know, God bless you. Just leave me alone. We see that in Job's friends. If you guys have read the book of Job, you'll know that Job's friends sometimes gave advice that was like, not so much. Yes, encourage your friends. But, you know, if they've been through trials a lot, they probably know those verses and just love them and pray for them and hang out with them. So consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be sure and complete, not lacking anything. So James here, consider joy through the storm. It refines us. What does these storms do? What do these trials do? It refines us. It deepens our relationship with God. It makes us desperate for Jesus. It makes us desperate for Jesus. When I am struggling, when I'm having a trial, when I'm having a hard time, I run to Jesus quicker than when everything else is good. When things are falling apart around me, I'm running to Jesus. It matures us. It produces fruit in our lives. Did you guys know there is a Sunday school, not a Sunday school class, what are we calling it? A morning Bible study class. Is that what we're calling it, Dennis? A morning Bible study class at 8 a.m. on the fruits of the Spirit. And this is one of the things that trials do for us. It produces fruit in our lives. It produces fruit. It also helps us reach out to others who are suffering. 2 Corinthians 1:3-4 says, praise be to the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from God. 2 Corinthians 1:3-4. So there's a lot of reasons for trials, but I think it matures us. We see that it matures us, refines us, makes us desperate for Jesus, makes us desperate for God. It produces fruit. And then also, I think sometimes we look past this. Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians 1:3-4 that we go through things so that we can help others. If I haven't been through the stuff I went through in my life, I wouldn't be as graceful and loving as I am. Some of the things, even the sins of my life and the stuff I've had to go through because of the consequences of my sin, they have softened me. They have matured me. When I see someone who is sick, I'm able to have compassion because I can remember the days that I spent in the hospital. When I see someone that has depression, I struggle with depression, so I can understand what they're going through. When I see someone that is struggling with addiction, I can reach out to them because I dealt with addiction. My dad dealt with addiction. It's a family tradition in each household, addiction. I can understand. When my son struggles with addiction, which he is, I can understand and be understanding. Keep him accountable, but still understanding. See, these things in our lives help us to be more understanding. Romans 5:3, Paul says, not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance, character, and character, hope. So it changes us. It matures us. It helps us to be more godly. So ask wisdom. So the first one, surprise, storms will happen. Consider joy through the storm. And number three, ask wisdom through the storm. So we're going through a trial. We're supposed to consider it pure joy. Is there a difference? This is, again, is a question that requires an answer. I got it that time. Okay. Is there a difference between joy and happiness? Yes. Okay. Let me see. Oh, I got candy. And in youth group, we get candy for answering a question. So let's see. Okay, let's just say you answered the question. All right. So we throw candy. It helps with our catching abilities, working on catching abilities. Oh, okay. So us youth guys are a little crazy. It's okay. So there's a difference between happiness and joy. Happiness is when something happens and it's like, oh, it's my birthday and I'm so happy and everybody, oh, you remember my birthday, thank you for the gift and oh, you're, oh. And joy is when your house is burning and your kids are in the house and they're dying and you have a peace that says, it is well with my soul. When things are blowing up, when 9/11 happened, when all these tornadoes or earthquakes, all these hurricanes, when someone that you love is dying, when someone you love is sick, when you lose your job, and you take the box and you walk outside and you sit in your car and your heart is singing, it is well with my soul. That is joy. That is joy, that deep down assurance that God gives us, that we know that it doesn't matter what happens, that God is for me. If God is for me, who can be against me? If God is for me, who can be against me? We need to have that attitude. Wisdom through the storm is not asking to get out of the storm. It is to get through the storm. This passage is amazing because it's so practical. Verses 5 through 8 says, if anyone of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. But when you ask, you must believe and not doubt, because the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea blown and tossed by the wind. That person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Such a person is a double-minded and unstable person and all they do. So wisdom to get through the trial, not out of the trial. A lot of us, we want to get out of the trial. We go to the doctor right away, which isn't always a bad thing, but we run to the doctor. We grab whatever we can to alleviate, get rid of, dismiss the trial or tribulation. We get rid of it as fast as we can. But God wants to teach us something through that trial or that storm. I've gone through trials and storms, and maybe I got out of them too quick, and I found my way to get out of them as quick as I could, and I didn't experience it like I should, and then, here it comes again. Oh, here it comes again. wisdom to get through the storm. Ask wisdom through the storm. Keep our eyes on Jesus. Hebrews tells us to keep our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter, or author and finisher of our faith. We all know the story in Matthew 14 of Peter and Jesus. Jesus walks on water, and Peter said, "If it's really you, you'll call me out of the boat." And Jesus said, "Come." And Jesus, and when Peter had his eyes on Jesus, he walked on water. And then when he saw the waves on the sea, he started to freak out, and he fell in the water, and he started to panic. And he said, "Help me." And Jesus grabbed him. And that's what we do in our trials and tribulations. We take our eyes off of Jesus. Anytime I have a panic moment in my life is when I'm taking my eyes off of Jesus. I've been in the hospital so many times, it's not really a big deal. It's just like, you know, going to the doctor. Not a big deal. There's people in my life that freak out when I go. My dad is really bad at this. He always thinks I'm dying when I go in the hospital, even if I'm not dying. And I'm the opposite. I underestimate it because I know that God is in control. And I know that if I would to die, I would be the winner, winner, chicken dinner. All right? I mean, I would. We make death like so depressing. Like, oh, as a Christian, we should be like excited. Be like, woohoo, I get to die. Yes. I beat you to heaven. That's right, baby. And if we have that assurance, and if we have that hope that when we die, we're not just going to be in the ground. That when we die, we're going to be in heaven with Jesus Christ. Then when we have trials and tribulations and problems, we can say, "Bring it on, baby. Bring it on. Because my God is going to win." We know the end of the book. All right, I got a little excited there. We're having church today, huh? Thank you, Jesus. All right, let's move on. Ask wisdom through the storm. Ask wisdom, so pray, pray, pray. How do we pray? Pray. Then have others pray for you. You'll be able to get wisdom from God. Have others pray. And then listen to God through his word. Have you ever said, you don't have to raise your hand on this, if you want to, you can. Have you ever said, "God isn't talking to me"? I have. You know why God doesn't talk to us? Because we don't open up his book. Do you know how God talks to us today? That's right. It is through his word. We pray, and then we read his word, and he talks to us. I say this often, that we have more information in this generation, this century, than any other Christian ever. And we know less. We have so much information. I love my cell phone because I can be sitting at the doctor and I can look up Bible verse. I can do Bible anywhere. I can listen to the Bible. It's amazing. I love the Bible. Why are you laughing at me? Why are you? They're distracting. Knowing his word, reading his word, knowing what the Bible says will help us to get through the storms. As for the storm, okay, recognize, pride and humiliation. Recognize. Believers, verse 9, believers in humble circumstances ought to take pride in their high position. But the rich should take pride in their humiliation, since they will pass away like a wildflower. For the sun rises with scorching heat and withers the plant. Its blossom falls and its beauty is destroyed. In the same way, the rich will fade away even while they go about their business. So some points to look on this is whether a man is poor or rich, he can derive lasting spiritual benefits from the calamities and crisis of life. If the poor was rich, maybe he would not have come to know God. The rich man may actually find real cause for rejoicing should he be stripped of his material possessions. If you have nothing but material wealth, then all your plans will end at the grave. So whether you're rich or poor, and I want to tell you this, if you live here in America, you're rich. Not judging, just saying. And I've never had a lot of money. I've always been what Americans would call poor. Okay? So broke, I can't pay attention. Thank you for the two that laughed. Appreciate that. But Americans, we are spoiled. We have grocery stores. I've heard other people coming from other countries that say, you go to the grocery store to get your food. What's going on with this? What is this place? What you just give money and you take your food? Holy cow. We are so spoiled in this country. And we don't even realize it. I get all mad when I can't buy a Starbucks in the morning. And there are people, children dying from hunger. I get upset when my Netflix doesn't work properly. And there's people that don't have clean water. See, in our family, we always say, it could always get worse. It could always be worse. My truck broke down. It could always be worse. It could have blown up. I got sick, definitely sick. I have tubes in my stomach. It could have been worse. I could have died, which would have been okay for me. You lose your job. It could have been worse. They could have made you pay to work there, and you could have had to give them money to be because you maybe made phone calls when you shouldn't have. I don't know. I've done that before. That's why I brought that up. Yeah. Okay. So it could always be worse. If you're poor or rich, praise the Lord. If you're rich, maybe that means God wants you to give more. If you're poor, maybe God wants you to serve more. See, I've never had a lot of money, so I do a lot of serving. And that's how I'm built. I think that's why God probably knows that if I was a rich man, I would be drinking lots of Jack Daniels. I would. I think I would. And God knew that. God knew that, hey, this guy, and if you have money and you're rich, you're probably good of money. Most poor people like myself are horrible of money. So if you're rich or poor, rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice. Persevere in trials. Blessed is the one who perseveres under trial, because having stood the test, that person will receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised to those who love him. See, there's an end goal here. It's not just, God's not just being this big old mean guy and just making you suffer. There's an end goal. Rejoice. Blessed is the one who perseveres under trial. Blessed is the one. Because our reward is not here on earth. Our reward is in heaven. Our reward is in heaven. If you're going through a tough time today, if you're going through a struggle, first of all, my heart's for you. But I hope that you've gotten hope this morning to know that what's happening is not in vain. What's happening is not meaningless and pointless. What's happening has a purpose. We will have our reward in heaven. A lot of us want our reward here on earth. We want everything great. But if we keep kingdom-centered, if we keep God-centered, that it doesn't matter what happens. If you win the lotto tonight, make sure you tithe 10%. But if you win the lotto tonight, you're blessed. God loves you not any more or less than he did when you didn't win the lotto. If you get in a car accident, rejoice, because God doesn't love you any less or more before the car accident. And maybe that's a trial. Maybe the millions of dollars is a trial. Keep God-centered, and whatever happens, we will praise him. Persevere in trial. Keep on keeping on. Keep on keeping on. Thessalonians, Paul says, Do not get tired of doing good, because in due time you'll reap what you sow. Do not get tired of doing good. A lot of us get tired of doing good. Sometimes it seems like the non-Christians get all the stuff and great life and not a care in the world. I felt like that sometimes when I'm in the hospital. I'm definitely sick. I'm like, why doesn't that person get sick? I know it's very spiritual of me, isn't it? And we get jealous, but we need to persevere. We need to keep on keeping on. Resist inward temptations or trials. Resist. So the outside, outward, we have trials, and inward, we have trials. What does that mean? You know, again, you don't have to raise your hand on this, but how many of us are tempted? Yes, we're all tempted. When we go through the trial, and this is something I found new. I've read this passage, I've preached on this passage, I've studied this passage, and it was like the Holy Spirit didn't want to share this nugget of wisdom in the past. And all of a sudden, I was reading the scripture, and I was like, hello, hello. Why didn't I know this stuff like 10 years ago? So this scripture right here, if you're being in a struggle, if you're in a struggle, if you are in a trial, really focus on these next few verses and really focus on what I have to say. Because I believe that this was an aha moment for me. So maybe you already knew this because you're smarter than me. But maybe it's an aha moment for you. When tempted, no one should say, God is tempting me. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. But each person is tempted when they are dragged away by their own evil desires and enticed. Then after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it's full grown, gives birth to death. So when you're in the trial, temptation to sin and to escape will come. When you're in the trial, temptation to escape and sin will come. I never thought of that before. And when I read that, I said, God, you could have told me this 10 years ago. You could have told me this. But then my mother said something that I think the Holy Spirit was trying to tell me is, you wouldn't have listened anyway. You wouldn't have listened anyway. So when I have been totally sick, instead of going to God, I've gone to booze, to alcohol, to other things, which made me sicker, but that's another sermon in itself. I went to sin and not God. And many of us do that. So this is an important point. Temptation to sin is not divine activity, but an evil one. Temptation begins with potential of the believer's own desire to satisfy self or God. Who are we going to satisfy? If we're in a hard time, if we're struggling, are we going to satisfy ourselves or God? Evil desire is a powerful attraction. It's an escape. If sin wasn't fun, we wouldn't do it. My pastor growing up always said that sin will take you further than you want to go, keep you longer than you want to stay, and cost you more than you want to pay. And if you think about that, I've memorized that because I have to be reminded of that all the time. Because when times get tough, I think, well, drinking sounds like a really good idea. And then I start thinking about, sin will cost me more than I want to pay. It costs you everything. It costs you everything. Sin lives within the self. Sin is the self, and the self grows to maturity. Sin, we become slaves of sin, and we don't want to do that. Again, Hebrews 12, 1 and 2 says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of God. So before I move on, sin and temptation, it's going to happen. Resist it. pray, read your word, memorize scripture. Then the last point is God is for you. Romans, Paul said, if God is for you, who can be against you? God is for you in this. There's a purpose for your trial. There's a purpose for your suffering. There is a reason for you to be going through all this. So if you're going through a trial this morning, if you're going through a struggle, call out to God. Pray. Read the word. Surround yourself by other Christians. Christians who are not struggling with trial right now, team up with someone who is. Pray with them. Bring them cookies. I like cookies. Everybody likes cookies. Why did someone laugh? Bring them cookies. I mean, everybody likes cookies. Santa Claus even likes cookies. Cookies, okay? Cookies or doing laundry or cleaning the bathroom or mowing the lawn or raking the lawn. Things that if you're sick or if you have lost somebody and things that you might not be able to do. Reaching out to others. Pray, read the word, reach out to others. Serving, when I'm going through a trial, something that they teach you in 12-step programs is to serve others. Sounds kind of like what Jesus told us to do. So when I'm depressed, I make it a point to go do something nice for somebody else. I make it a point. Okay. That wasn't too bad, was it? So we're going to do something a little different. I'm going to ask, if you are going through a trial right now, please stand up. It's okay. No one will think anything less of you. And if you're next to someone who has stood up, could you lay your hand on them right now? Get out of your seat if you need to. Just lay your hand on the person. More people can go around. Lay your hand on the person that is struggling right now. Because this is what we need to do. We need to support our brothers and sisters. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much. I pray for these men and women, believers, brothers and sisters in Christ who are standing up right now. I pray that you touch them. I pray in Jesus' name that if it is your will, you heal them if they're sick or you help them out, whatever they need. Lord, we believe that you our God who gives great gifts, but we also believe that consider it pure joy whenever you face trials of many kinds. And I pray that they would be encouraged. I pray that they would see that this is the testing of their faith and it brings maturity. Lord, I pray for them in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, I'm going to ask the youth to come up if you want to come up. The youth, we got a song for you if there's any youth that want to come up. We're going to do a song. When I first did this song, some of the youth thought it was silly. I need more than just this. I'm not going to do it.